Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we strive to love God and love people. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, good morning. The question today is it worth it? And what did you say? I didn't say what. It depends, okay? Yeah, but the question, is it worth it? It would depend, would it not? Last night I went to Cindy's work Christmas party, and they're court reporters, so it's like being locked up with like 40 nerds. People that have the ability to scrutinize every sentence you speak. Like, is it correct? Is it not correct? Actually, it was fun. But at this party, I went into the little room where we eat, and it's full of carbohydrates, and I'm like, is it worth it? Is it not? I don't know. I really wrestled. So I settled on bacon-wrapped dates. That's what I had for dinner, like 4 bacon-wrapped dates. Was it worth it? Yeah, at the end, I woke up like, I'm glad I didn't roll around in carbs last night. So it all depends on what the subject is. Is it worth it? But I think it's a pretty good question because we all kind of ask ourselves that a lot. And the people in the book of Malachi, Israel, they were asking themselves that same question. Is it worth it? Is it worth serving God? Is it worth putting in time, effort? And I want to just explore that question because that's where they were that day. So if you have your Bibles, go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to explore this. We're going to look at what the Word of God says. Now, let me just say this right up front. I'm really happy to be in this part of the book of Malachi because we're not having a sex talk today. We're not talking about money today. We're not talking about insufficient offerings and sacrifices and things like that today. This has been a really straightforward, hard-hitting book in the Old Testament. But here we are right now at the end of the book. And I think it speaks of just amazing hope and just shows off God's mercy and his love for us in such a powerful way. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 says, "You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. You ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it." So let's stop there for a second. God's saying, you spoke arrogantly against me. And the reason he said that is because they were saying, is it futile to serve God? They were questioning, really, is this worth it? Is it worth following his decrees? Is it worth chasing him? Is it worth committing our lives to God? Because it seems like it doesn't pay off. It seems like evildoers get away with whatever they're going to get away with. Is it worth it? And I think we could ask ourselves that very same question today. Is your serving God, is your faith, is your commitment to him worth it? It's a great question to ask today. We could have all kinds of answers to that. You know, some are in different places. Some serve more than others. If I were to go to the worship team today, they got up early this weekend and they got here at 7 a.m. and started rolling out these speakers and the cords and setting up all the instruments and got everything sounding right, the sound guys. And so I could ask them, is it worth it? I hope they'd say yes. Really hope, guys. Come on, please say yes. You know, that's one level. Today, right now, as we speak, someone may be changing a dirty diaper over that way. And I could ask them the question, is it worth it? And for them, I'm really praying they would say, yeah, I'll change the next dirty diaper. Bring it on. Yeah, I could talk about the guys that rolled carts. In fact, funny story this morning, about 3 weeks ago, I was moving one of our ramps that we pull all the stuff out of. I got a log in my hand. There was a splinter off one of the carts that just ramps that are breaking down, and pulled that bad boy out. It all came out, didn't it, James? And we're like, ugh, it's a creepy one. I went straight home and ordered ramps. I'm like, I am ordering ramps. I ordered these heavy-duty styrofoam ramps. They're 12 pounds a piece. If you've ever done setup, tear down with us, now you'll probably rejoin us. Like, I don't have to move that ramp, 12 pounds? Sweet. Unbeknownst to me, Josh McDonald went and was going to surprise me this morning by making us new ramps. He went out and bought plywood and boards and made these awesome new million-pound ramps. And he shows up like, hey! And I'm like, look at our new ramps! They're 12 pounds! And he's like, nah. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I felt so bad for this guy. And I asked him, I said, Josh, was it worth it? And he got a big smile on his face. He goes, yeah, I'd do it again. I'm like, you're crazy. But his attitude was like, man, I served Jesus this week building ramps in my driveway. Yeah, it was worth it. Great attitude, could have had a bad one. So all of us have different questions to answer. Some of us, you've got a lot of kids and you got up earlier than anyone and you fought children and they didn't want to cooperate and they didn't want to eat and you fought with them all the way here. Shut up, be quiet. And you're arguing with your spouse and you got here in the parking lot, you put on your best smile and you're sitting here now. Let me ask you this question. Was it worth it? You know, we can all ask that question depending on where you are. And some days, let's be honest, you're like, no, nuh-uh. I wish I was at home in my PJs watching the football game or eating food. But it's good to ask ourselves this question. Because as we go on, let's look at what the word says. Verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. I love this. So there's a group of people that were saying, is it worth it? Is this really worth it? Is it worth the sacrifice? It doesn't seem to matter at the end of the day if I'm faithful or unfaithful, if I go to church, if I don't go to church, if I worship, if I don't worship, because it all is misery in the end. People that don't do it succeed. People that do it seem to not succeed. So there was this crowd and God saying, man, that's arrogant talk. But verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. I like that. Those who feared the Lord talked to each other. So I imagine the group that feared the Lord got together and said, hey, let's talk about this. And as they talked, there's probably this kind of conversation that went on. You know what? It is worth it. It's very worth it. I imagine some of them said, you know, I got up early and it cost me something, or I fought to get my family someplace, or it didn't go the way I wanted, but they sat there and they said, you know, at the end of the day, it's worth it. And I would do it again, and I'd do it again, and I'd do it again, and I'd do it again. There are two conversations that the Lord listened in on. One was a group that obviously got together and said, is it worth it? I mean, this isn't working for me. This isn't improving my life. This isn't adding. Seems like people that don't do all this stuff get as much as I get. Is this really worth it? And the Lord heard that conversation. You've spoken arrogantly against me. This other conversation the Lord's listening in on, there's a group of people saying, yeah, this is worth it. And look what happens now. It says, a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. This is kind of interesting. You know, there's writing that goes on in heaven. Did you know that the Bible says our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's writing that goes on in heaven. And I believe that this writing is actually happening in heaven. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence. Whose presence? The Lord's presence. Concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Man, when we step back and say, yeah, it's tough. It didn't yield the results I thought it should yield. It seems unfair, but serving the Lord is worth it. Honoring him is worth it. And I believe in heaven, God hears these things. He hears these hearts, and he begins to write this stuff down. I want a scroll written about me. How about you? I want scrolls written all over this church of people that could complain, that could say, you know what? It's not worth serving God. It's not worth being faithful. But have instead said, no, it is worth it. And God hears that and he honors that and he blesses that. I think that every time we make a decision to be faithful to God, that God's not blind to these things. He's not blind to these things when you say, I could do six other things a day, but I'm going to honor and serve God. I'm going to come and worship him. I'm going to come and be a blessing to his people. God sees it. He honors it. And just like this instance, I believe these things are recorded. I do with all my heart. Verse 17, here's where it gets fun. God makes a list between now and really towards the end of chapter 4. He begins to like enumerate some of the things to people that say, yeah, it's worth it. May not be easy. May not make sense all the time. But I'm here to say it's worth it. Here's what happens in verse 17. He says, on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. What a cool promise. The thought that we would be called treasured by God blows my mind. The thought that we would be valued by God is hard to calculate. Is it worth serving God? Oh, yeah. Especially when he says, you're treasured to me. You're valued to me. If you run through the scripture and you see stuff like Zephaniah 3:17, where it says the Lord rejoices over us in singing, that he quiets us in his love, and there's this picture of a loving father leaning over a crib and just celebrating a child. When you see pictures in Isaiah where he says, I've engraved you in the palm of my hands, literally it spells out that image where when you grab something really, really, really tight, and you were to let go of it, you could see the impression in your hand. That's the picture God's painting. See, I've engraved you in the palm of my hands, where God gets a hold of your life. Where, you know, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one can snatch them from my hands. Where God says, they're mine. They belong to me. I know the numbers of hairs on their head. I knew their days before one passed. I knit them together in their mother's womb. They are a treasured, valued possession of mine. And that's a promise of faith in God and being part of his family is we're treasured. And I don't say that just to build you up like, yeah, I'm psyched up, I'm treasured. And no, I'm saying that because somehow, despite us, God treasures us. So I say to myself, is that worth serving? Mm-hmm. I would say so. Verse 17, he says, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them. Just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. I will spare them. Okay, if he's going to spare you, it means that you have something to be spared of. And here's the crazy thing about the Word of God. Verse 17 says, on that day, they'll be my treasured possession. Ooh, I'm treasured. And I will spare them. Meaning you need sparing. How many of you have a kid you loved and just wanted to beat at the same time? I don't mean abusively beat. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You're just like, oh, I love you, but And here we have a picture where God the Father is saying, you're my treasured possession. You're like, ooh, I love you, and yet I need to spare you. See, because we know that what the Word teaches here, and a lot of you guys could say, I know all that, but we know that everybody in this room is sent. Every one of us, myself included, everybody I'm locking eyes with, you have sinned, you have broken God's laws. There is not one perfect person in this room, and the problem with sin is it has consequence. It's not like you can just sin with no consequence. Sin brings death. It's like drinking poison and expecting not to die. Sin is always fatal. It separates us from God. It destroys our life. It ruins relationships. It ruins the God-given capacity you had to glorify Him. Sin is a destructive agent in your life. And here we have in verse 17, God saying, they'll be my treasured possession. I will spare them like a father spares a son that serves him. That we are encountered by God's mercy for us. In Psalms 103, there's this beautiful picture of this. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 12. It says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. We are spared this morning because of Jesus. I like that it says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much he loves those who fear him. I love that he says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how big he's removed our sin from us. Imagine this, if you were to take off running east, and you went running east, and you got to Mason. I said, keep running. And you went east, and all the way to the New York. You got on the East Coast, and you got in a boat, and you kept heading east. And you landed in Europe somewhere. Then you started running across Europe, and you're going, 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 going. You realize that when you got to China, and you're still heading east, you're heading east. And when you got in the Pacific Ocean, you started going across the Pacific, and you hit California again, you know you'd still be going east. That direction. East and west never meet, man. Your sins are gone, the Bible's saying. They're gone. God doesn't remember them. You're forgiven. You're spared because of his mercy. That's when the place should go wild. Yay! Okay, or not. We're spared. He says, I will spare you as a father spares a son who serves him. Let's go on. And I'm sorry, I am lost. You'll have to bear with me. Okay, just verse 18. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Another benefit I think God lays out there for us, that there is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Now, if I were to take two people, and let's say we went on you name the program. Let's just make it about weight. Why not? That's always fun. Let's say we put two people up here, and we're like, we're going to make a distinction before you. We've got this diet that really, really works, and you're going to lose weight, and you're going to look great. And I tell you about all these great things. And when we take both people, we stand right there on stage, and they both look just the same. We'd be like, oh, okay, well, it takes some time. Another month passes by. Man, they look just the same. A year passes by. They look just the same. How many want to buy that diet product? Nobody. You're like, no, thanks. I don't want it. But if that person started losing 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15, 20, 30. After a year, man, they're chiseled. They look great. How many then are interested in buying the diet product? I'm like, sign me up. There's a distinction between your life with Christ and your life without Christ. There's a transformation that will begin to take place. It will happen. This is good news. Everybody should shake your head and say yes. There's a need for transformation. None of us are there yet, but we should have this thing happen in our lives where we're being transformed. There's a distinction happening in your life. People should be able to look at you and say, you know what? You look a little better. You talk differently. There's something about you I like better, and that's God working in your life. This is a promise. This is not an indictment. This isn't like you need to change. What I'm telling you is, when we follow God, He begins to transform. form you. It's unavoidable. He's not interested in the new improved you. This is where the gospel falls apart a lot of times. We say, I'm going to come to God and he's going to be an additive to my life and he's going to bless or make work lucky for me. He's going to bless my marriages and my relationships. And he's like a good luck charm I stick on my dashboard that bobbles. That's what God is to me. And when you don't lose weight and things don't go well and they're not easy, you say to yourself, well, God failed me. Is it worth serving him? It's futile to serve God. Because what's the benefit? The problem is we bought into the wrong thing. We come to God. He doesn't want to just make little improvements. He wants the new you. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you a new creation in Christ. So there's this beautiful thing when we come to Jesus, he will make a distinction in your life. Chapter 4, it says, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. I love this. That Jesus brings about this healing thing in our life. Some of you guys have heard my story, and I'll share just part of it quick. My dad was a serious alcoholic. He was abusive. Not a good guy, not a good thing. When I was growing up through high school, I had a lot of anger. I was a hot mess. Just really was. Did you know when I talk about my dad today and all the stories I could share, I could go on for days there. I'm not hurt. In fact, I'm good. I really am. Because God has brought healing in my life. I mean, he really has. The only reason I tell those stories today is to glorify God and to help people that are right in the middle of that kind of situation. That's why I share it, not because I'm working through it. God's brought healing in my life in a big way. And can I say, when we come to him, one of the things he does for his kids is he brings a wholeness and a healing. But again, we come to him and we say, yeah, it's worth serving God. It's worth laying my life at his feet and letting him do the work. And then this last phrase, I love it, and we're going to land this thing here real quick. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I love this thing. So God's making these promises, you know, promises like, okay, you're my treasured possession. It's like, I'm going to put you in a framed picture on the mantle. Treasured possession. I love you. I know you. You're mine. I'm going to spare you. None of your sin's going to count against you. You're going to be perfect in my sight. I'm going to make a distinction in your life. You're going to begin to look better. You're not going to look like you were before. I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to make you frolic like a well-fed calf. We all have that image in our mind, right? You just imagine this calf that doesn't know any better and it's in like a foot of green grass. This is the picture I get. It's just like eating and jumping around and just having a great time. And there's just this picture of like joy and innocence and like life is good. And there's this picture that God provides to us that says, us knowing him and us serving him is not a distraction or not a minus in our lives, but it's a thing that brings joy. Our trusting him, we're no fool to trust God. It's the thing that causes us to frolic like a well-fed calf. The thing that causes us to have joy that we don't have to just work up and we don't have to have just things or perfect circumstances to have joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord's my strength. That the kingdom of God's not a matter of talk, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That there's this thing about God's people that make you good to be around. Because we have God. We have his promise. Now, I come back to this idea. Is it worth it? Is it worth serving Jesus? Is it worth going for it? I'm going to say yes. 100% yes. In fact, I'm embarrassed to put myself alongside of what some of God's people have suffered. Like, I really looked at this. Is it worth it? I'm like, what am I saying? I'm in an air-conditioned room in the winter. I mean, that's the biggest suffering that we at Crossings Church endure, right? Like, it's really cold in there. I'm going to go to CCV where they have heat. Sissy. I've talked about them twice this week. I don't have an axe to grind. I don't. In fact, I told you, it looks cool. I want to go. But what I'm trying to say is, like, we don't have big crosses to bear here. Like, who's been stoned for their faith this week? Anybody? Anybody been shot at, beat, got fired? Yeah. You know, so when I ask myself this question, is it worth it? I'm a little humble because I get honest. I'm like, well, God, I got life pretty easy. Life's pretty good. Well, of course it's worth it, but sometimes I find myself complaining. How many of you ever found yourself complaining and you have nothing to complain about? Yeah, you'd start complaining, like, you know, and I'm like, what is that? So I ask myself, or I ask you, is it worth it? I'm like, well, yes. Because one day I'll stand before him, and one day you'll stand before him, and we'll be there, and I will be rubbing elbows, and you'll be rubbing elbows with Christians that died in Syria a couple years ago that wouldn't denounce their faith. We'll be with people that have given everything to say, and we'll stand around that throne worshiping Jesus saying, worthy is the Lamb who's slain from the foundations of the earth. Worthy is the Lamb. In that worship service in Revelation chapter 5, man, they'll be there worshiping Jesus. And I want to be able to say, yeah, it's worth it. I rolled carts. What'd you do? You know? It's worth it. It's worth serving. It's worth going for. It's worth saying, God, I'm going to commit to you, and I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to be somebody that tries to, let's think of the book of Malachi real quick. We're going to do a super fast recap. I'm not going to be someone that discounts your grace. I'm not going to be somebody that brings cheap sacrifices and sees the minimal I can get away with. I'm not going to be someone that dishonors my marriage vows and lets sexual immorality rule my life. I'm not going to be someone that doesn't trust God with the stuff I have. I want to be that person that says, God, I trust you. I shared this in the first service. Hudson Taylor, 19th century missionary that went to China, went with his family, and through the course of years, he lost his wife, he lost his kids, and he's there alone in China, literally sitting on their graves and crying out to God, God, is it worth it? And in that time of prayer, he came to this, and he penned it in his biography. He says, giving up is inevitably receiving when we come face to face with the things of a loving God. In that moment, it crashed on him. He realized that, God, you are worth it. And I look at some of our light and momentary troubles. And I say to myself, God, help me be more grateful. Help me be more passionate about what you've done for me. We're going to receive communion in a moment. The guys are getting ready. They're just going to pass it out today. And so just stay seated in it, and they'll serve you. How many have ever seen a schoolyard fight? How many have ever been a part of one? Cindy, raise your hand. And what's great about schoolyard fights is, kids, don't fight in school, okay? I'm not telling you to go fight. But what's great about them is when they're getting broken up, like, some kids are really glad the fight's getting broken up, especially the kid losing. But when they're broken up, there's this really cool thing. Thanks, Z. Oh, gosh. Where someone's pulling the kid off. You've seen it. Imagine it. There's dirt. There's hair being pulled. There's punches being thrown. And someone's pulling the kid off that's on top. And they keep swinging. Shoo, shoo, shoo. You guys ever seen that? as they're being pulled off, they're still swinging, and they're still fighting, and they're like pulling off a pit bull or something. And I want that to be Crossings Church when the Lord comes back. I don't want us to be the people that curl up in a ball, trying to protect ourselves, praying for the fight to end. I pray that we're the people when God comes back to get us. He's like, hey, it's time to go, it's time to go. And you're like, one more punch, Jesus. Like, let me whoop the enemy and his evil in this world, in my life, because serving you is good. And I love to serve my King. I would do it forever if I could. One more punch, one more opportunity, one more chance to serve you. And if it means one day we would sit on the graves of people we love and write the words like Hudson Taylor, or we would go out pushing carts or changing diapers at Crossings Church, we did it with all of our hearts, and we did what we had to do with a passion. And we loved God, and when he overheard us talk, he would say, I heard them talk, and they're the people I like, because they say, I like serving God. And that our things would be written in a book. I don't want to die one day and be half-hearted. I want the words that Jesus says. I'll build my house upon this rock, the confession that Jesus is Lord. And the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that image is, we're pushing against the gates of hell, not hiding in the corner, but we're taking the gospel to a world that needs Jesus. So many times we try to make this gospel thing so comfortable. Like, hey man, can we do, instead of an hour service, let's do 45 minutes. Here, we'll just carry you in. Meet you at the door. Drop your kids off for you. And all along, the joy is in saying, no, I'm a warrior for God. I serve God. Showing up to worship is nothing. I haven't even started to fight. Put me in it. And the ultimate expression of this, we hold in our hands today, that Jesus went to a cross. The biggest "Is it worth it" in history was played out in our hands right now. And I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sinless, realizing that he was going to go to a cross and all the sins of those Roman soldiers were going to be thrown on him. He was going to bear it. It's like he was going to bear their guilt. Not just those soldiers around him, but all of Jerusalem and all of Judea, all of the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire with their perversion, the Greeks, and every sin of that day was to be hung on him. And not just that day, the next century and the next century and 20 centuries down the line, every sin by every person ever born, every person that committed things that we won't even say out loud, were put on him. And it's as if he was guilty for the world. He who had no sin became sin for us so that we could become righteous, so we could frolic like well-fed calves. And Jesus in that garden, knowing what was coming, I'm convinced it wasn't just the pain, it was bearing that sin. Said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And then his next phrase, nevertheless, not your will, not my will, your will be done. And he went to the cross and he did it. And we stand here today and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And in heaven, somehow he says it's worth it, because that big scene in Revelation says, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. It's worth it. So let's check our hearts today. Let's evaluate where we are. Has Christianity become an evaluation thing? If it's going good, well, then great. It's worth it. Or if it's going bad, well, then it's not worth it. Or has it become a thing where you said, God, I belong to you, good, bad, ugly, I serve you, no questions. I belong to Jesus. I serve that King. And as we hold this, that has to be the answer. It can't be he's a good luck charm. It can't be he's just there to dig me out of messes when I need him. I belong to him. I serve that king. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we love you today. I'm going to invite you to pray with me if you're here today. Just let's turn this place into a little prayer meeting. And let's just talk to God for a moment about our hearts and about his benefits. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. Would you just search us? Lord, would you do a work in our hearts, God, today? Hallelujah. We recognize, Jesus, that you came and your body was broken for us. And Lord, we identify with you. We say thank you for sacrificing for us and being broken for us. Let's receive the bread together. We hold the cup. And we say, Lord, thank you for shedding your blood for our sin. Lord, that we can be spared today and we can be a treasured possession and we can be worked on and healed and made to have joy because of what you did for us. Let's receive the cup together. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. You are worth it. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Let me know God's good. God is good. So guys, next week, we're going to talk about Christmas. Why we love it. I love that my neighbors had their lights up almost all year long. And they weren't just on a bush. They would light up all year long. Until 2 weeks ago, they went off. I almost lost it. I'm like, you can have them on now. So I'm not going to talk about why I don't like Christmas. We're going to talk about why we love Christmas. So here's what I'd like you to do with me. We're going to take a little journey through first two chapters of Matthew, first two chapters of Luke. Would you guys just get those out this week and let God's word speak to you? I think it'd be great if we made Jesus the reason for this. That's so cliche now. But anyway, do that. Read those, be a part of that. And then the other thing is, I would love for you guys to make a benefits list. Like, we all benefit from serving God. How many say yes? Make that list out. Like, how do I benefit from serving Jesus? And just thank him for that. Because Psalms 103 says, forget not his benefits. Man, make a list. If you want prayer, we're going to be down here and we'll pray for you. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray, would you just cause us to recognize it's good to be yours. It's good to belong to you. Let us leave here and frolic like well-fed calves. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Estrella Boulevard and Yuma Road in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 and 10:30 a.m. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thanks again for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.